Father, I thank you, Lord, for another fellowship hour. So we're gathered together to fellowship with one another, to exhort one another by the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this word. The Bible says the entrance thereof brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We declare it as always that that is the case here this morning. We give you, Lord, the praise. I give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Have you ever wondered why the Bible says that there are 24 elders around the throne? Well, you know, who might these 24 elders be? Well, you can hazard a guess. We're not told who they were. So you just have to imagine or guess who they might be, you know, but why would they be there, you know, and why in particular are they called elders? Well, we're going to read through, I want to do a lesson on these heroes of faith in the book of Hebrews 11. I think it would take me a couple of days to go through, so I renamed this part one. You know, obtaining a good report with God through faith. So let's start here in Hebrews 11. I want to talk about this. Hebrews 11 also mentioned these elders. Now, we don't know if these are the same ones that are around the throne, but by using the name elders or the title elders, we would guess that, well, they were some older ones that have passed on, or, I mean, and in addition, since they had certain crowns and things like that, you'd have to guess that they were people that have obtained a good report. Well, so let's start here. And why are they around the throne? Well, they're not around the throne to check. You know, elders in the church, the way we have them, you know, they kind of, you know, place checks and balances, you know. They don't want one person to just run wild. So you have elders in place, you know, and they have to conduct make sure the affairs of the church are conducted in order and so on. They make sure that it's sound doctrine. They have a role to play with, laying hands, praying for people and so on. But they are not, in the case of those who are in heaven around the throne, they're not there to check the Lord. They can't check the Lord. They're actually there as a cloud of witnesses. To say that, look, the whole time that we've been here, we've never seen his word fail. Hallelujah. I believe that that's why they are there, because they can't check the Lord. In the church, they check things, make sure things are in order and so forth. Yeah, they also, you know, look out for the flock and all that. But here, they're there, I believe, as a cloud of witnesses. I say, wow. We've been here and we've been seeing things, but we've never seen his word fail. It's not about to fail now. He's always kept his word. So let's read stories. Some of these elders that are in Hebrews 11 might be part of that group there. I don't know, because we're not given their identity. But let's read through this. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, a chapter about people of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that's one of the most popular verses about faith in the Bible. If you were to ask anybody to give a definition of faith, most people will quote this thing right here. Faith, the substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not seen. So we see that there is actually a substance to faith. It's not abstract. You know, there's a substance to it. It is the very essence. That's what that means. You know, what keeps hope alive. That's what faith is. You know, if you don't have faith, well, hope might not serve you very well. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. So this lesson was inspired by this verse 2 of Hebrews 11. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. So we're going to talk about obtaining a good report with God through faith. Now, this was not necessarily report with man, but this was a report with God. You know, God, you know, what kind of report do we have with God? What does your report card say? We're all familiar with report card. All of us gone to school and so on. You know, what does our report card with God say? What are the kinds of things, you know, that are being written about us with the Lord? I mean, that the Lord is causing to write concerning us. I mean, we even see some things that we'll examine here in a minute, or some things that God said about certain people, kind of like a testimonial or a report that God gave about certain people. And this chapter is exactly that. You know, so here are some things about certain people of faith. And these are the things that were written about them. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I'm going to be reading through Hebrews 11 in the King James. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11 said, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Hallelujah. Now, let's listen to some of their stories. We also, by faith, understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which we see now, we know did not, you know, were not made of things which appear. You know, they were made of nothing. I mean, God just called things out of nothing. You know, called these things out of nothing. And there's another scripture that talks about that, how God calls things that are not as though they already are. And he can do things like that. You know, so in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, we hear that our God quickens the dead and calls those things that are not as though they are. That's meaning things that you didn't even know existed. God called them forth as though they already were. Now, back to Hebrews 11. And reading through these stories of these ones that obtained a good report. How did they do it? Well, in some cases, we figured out how they did it. There were some details written about some of these, actions of faith, exploits of faith. In some cases, there were summaries given in the Bible. In some cases, they went into details. Let's look at some of these, the ones that are noted here. Now, it said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness. So you see that Abel obtained a good testimonial before God that he was righteous. God testifying also of his gifts, and by this, even though he's dead, he's yet speaking. That's a mystery by itself. Abel was one of the first ones, actually the first one to figure out, you know, this issue about bringing sacrifice and bringing, things to God. Who taught him how to do that? You know, and what he offered was not from the fruit of the ground, which was cursed already, like Cain, but he offered something precious, you know, something that had blood in it. And this was, my goodness, this was something that God was had in his mind to do even before the world began. The lamb was slain, and somehow Abel caught the revelation. Well, you know the rest of the story. Cain, Jesus said, was of that wicked one. He rose up against his brother and killed him. But still, there was a testimony here written about Abel. Now, let's go to my favorite, all-time favorite. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. And people were looking for him, but he was gone. I mean, just imagine that. One day, he was with his family. The next day, he was gone. And everybody looked for him. They couldn't find him. You know, I mean, it wasn't like they had, you know, aircraft and different things to travel very far in those days. They could only travel by foot here and there. He had his sphere of influence. They knew where he went and, you know, went and came and so on. And they looked for him. He was gone. It was God that had taken him. You know, and he says, you know, God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Now, you can see that these lessons, these stories here about a testimony that they had with God, or you might call it a testimonial, their testimonial, you know, and or their report. I remember growing up and going to secondary school, high school, all that stuff. At the end of, you know, you could get a testimonial from the principal. I got one, you know, that recommended me. So say this person's highly recommended. He's of university caliber is what he wrote in that thing. You know, because I was looking for, actually my dad said, you know, asked him to write something for me. I didn't even know about that. But my dad asked for it and he wrote it. And I still have a, you know, the thing till today, kept it with all my ancient records. It was a testimony, actually called testimonial at the top of it. So these people obtained some kind of a report, a testimonial, and it was good. In fact, called a good report. Now, this Enoch also obtained a good report, had a testimony with God. His own testimony in particular was that he pleased God. Well, that's a great thing if we can please God. You know, for remember, the Bible says, you know, all things were made for his pleasure and so on and so forth. In the book of Revelation chapter 4, you know, we read that, you know, these things, you know, we were all created Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Now these are the 4 and 20 elders that were saying these things. You know, they were giving witness to the fact that all things were created for God's pleasure. Now, if all things were created for God's pleasure, and God found a man that would give him pleasure, well, that's a great thing. So this man gave God pleasure. He pleased God. But without faith, we are told, it is impossible to please the Lord. Wow. You know, there are not too many things that are said impossible to accomplish in the Bible. This is one of them. You know, where it says it is impossible to accomplish something. What is that thing? Well, if you don't have faith, it is impossible to accomplish the thing for which we were created. You know, for we were created for His pleasure. And if you don't have faith, you can't do that. So you can see the high value of faith. But this Enoch, we have spoken about him multiple times, so let's move on. He was translated that he should not see death without, he pleased God before he left. We know that. That was his testimony. That was his testimonial. That was his own good report. Without faith, he couldn't have done that. Now, we know that he that cometh to God, we're told here, must believe that he is, and as a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then we move on to Noah. Noah, we spoke about him also the other day, being warned of God by faith. When he was warned of God of things not yet seen. He had never rained. God was talking about, you know, opening the windows of heaven and pouring out rain to destroy everything. And, you know, Noah was a righteous preacher, or preacher of righteousness. And for many years, he warned the people too, and they scoffed at him. Because he's like, rain? Nobody even knew what it meant. Because before then, the only way that they got, you know, the vegetation and the plants got anything like that was dew that actually came up from the ground, not from heaven. And, you know, watered the place. So people didn't know anything too much about that, and they mocked. But nobody was laughing when God shut the doors to the ark. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, people were carrying on and ignoring the warnings of God and just going on everything. But until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the doors were shut and the windows of heaven opened up, and nobody was mocking after that. You know, so this is a grave lesson for the people of the world who mock at the warnings of God. And God will say, repent, the judgment is at hand. People mock at that. You know, well, the day of the Lord will come. People have their day now. You know, you have your own day. Well, but the day of the Lord will come. In that day of the Lord, you know, there will be no gainsaying all the warnings of the Lord. And the righteous God has warned the people, but they turn their backs to him. And it will be upon their head. Their own blood will be upon their head. We must also warn the people like Noah did. Well, let's see what Noah's testimony was. Noah's testimony was that he believed God, whereas the rest of his generation did not. You know, and he also walked and had righteousness, you know, attributed to him, even though the rest of the world were wicked. We read that the other day. But look at something else that happened. Here's another testimony about Noah. He said, being warned of God of things not yet seen, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which act, he condemned the world. I mean, the fact that Noah believed God, acted by faith in response to God's warnings, he singularly condemned the whole world. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that God will always have a witness or a remnant. And the moment one person believes, the rest are condemned. And there will always be somebody that believes. Jesus, in sending out the disciples, in Mark 16 said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. You know, so that's in Mark 16. Once there is one person that is found to believe God, everybody else is condemned. This is what we learn from the story of Noah. And till this day, the same principles apply. God will find someone that believed, and there will always be someone. And once they believe, well, everybody else is condemned. Let's read into this. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now listen to this in verse 18. He that believeth on him, that's on Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See? And so that tells you that, look, once the, you know, this believing is actually a separating line. It causes the person that believed, you know, to condemn the rest of the world and the rest of the people that do not believe. And there's a condemnation for them. The condemnation, Jesus said, is that light came into the world, and they loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So, and they, you know, they remain condemned. Now, Noah condemned the world because he moved with fear, believing what God said, which was unheard of, but yet he believed that God's word would be true. And he found favor with God. That was his testimony. We've seen various testimonials here of people. Let's keep on reading and see, you know, other testimonials as well. We'll see how far we can get today. So that was Noah. Well, what about, I mean, it says he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So he was called a righteous man, and he obtained that by faith. What about Abraham? Who's next? Well, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, you know, to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, even though he didn't know where he was going, and went out, not knowing whither he went. So, but by faith, he obeyed. See? Now, faith in the case of Abraham, his testimony says it led to obedience. Now, you can see the different testimonials that God is giving concerning these people. And we are learning various things as we go along. In the case of Abraham, his faith caused him to obey God. So faith can actually lead to our obedience. And the opposite of that would be unbelief, would lead to disobedience. You know, so that's a strange combination, but it is true. You know, faith, obedience, they go together. Unbelief and disobedience, they also go together. That's what we're learning here in the story of the summary of Abraham's report. And, you know, when he went out, even though he didn't know where he was going, he had to take God at his word and just go. God didn't give him all the picture all at once, gave him enough. Important things, get out from the land of where you were, the land of Ur, get out of there and go somewhere. I will show you. And he went, and God began to lead him. And told also that by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. It wasn't his then, he was just promised. You know, something that is promised to you, which you haven't obtained yet, is still a promise. Once you have it, it's no longer a promise. You know, you already have it. You know, it's in your hand. But Abraham didn't have it, but the Lord said, I will give you this land and give it to your seed as well. And by faith, he believed God, even though he dwelt in there as a stranger. You know, Bible says that he received the testimony that he believed God. And that testimony passed on, the promise that God gave him, passed on to Isaac, passed on to Jacob also, because of Abraham's faith. And these people were looking for a city, we're told, had foundations whose builder and maker is God. Wow. You know, we didn't even know that they were doing that until we read it here. But there's a secret. There are many secrets being revealed in this Hebrews 11 that you may not have realized when you read their stories in Genesis. Actually looking for something, you know, God put an impact of this search for the promised land or the promise that God gave them, made them to realize that there was God also promised them something beyond that. My goodness. You know, that was not immediately apparent in their stories, but here we find it. And, you know, the builder of this city yet to come was God. And by faith, they were looking for it, we're told. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. So we see that faith can also give you strength to accomplish and go through whatever it takes in order for you to obtain the promise. Hers was to bring forth, even though she was barren, and she would bring forth. And well, even though her body was waxing old and so forth, well, by faith, strength came to her. She was able to conceive, and she did bring forth, even like God said. Her testimony is written here. The testimonial that she had was that, well, like unlike Abraham, which testimony was, well, go somewhere and you don't know, but you believe God and you continue to obey and go. Her testimony was that, well, even when she was past age, she was able to receive strength to conceive and bear a child. And it was a child of promise, because she believed in him that had promised. Well, it didn't look like it at first, but at the end here, we're told that she did believe. And even this one child that she would bear in her old age became the spring of many. He said, therefore sprang there even of one, you know, and him as good as dead. I mean, Abraham also was almost dead, I mean, aged over 100 years. This woman also 70 something or 90 or whatever. I mean, they were old. And yet, God brought this child of promise. And today, he said, well, as many as the stars of the sky, multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Now, this was their testimony, all these people that we've been reading. And we are told that all of them, you know, died in faith. They did not receive the promises. You know, God said, well, I'll give you this land. I will make you this and that. I will make your seed like the sands of the sea. Well, Abraham didn't see that. I mean, his children at the time that he was living were not numberless. They were not innumerable. I mean, he only had Isaac. Isaac only had this and that. I mean, Ishmael was there on the other side too. So, but God made promises. I'll make Israel also a great nation. I'll make Isaac a great nation. And you know, all these things. He didn't see it, but he had to believe it. And because how did he show that he believed it? He changed his name. Changed his name. Called himself Father of Nations. And that was his testimonial. And today we see that, yes, looking back now, we see how these people believed God. And here's a summary of this first set of faith heroes. The summary is in verse 13. You know, they were all promised something, but they never saw it really. The land of promise, land of Canaan, and all these things. God told Abraham, come out here. As far as your eye could see, I'm going to give it to you. All these places. And he came out and he looked, and God said, yeah, just keep looking. God said, anything you can see, I'll give it to you. He didn't really get it during his time. You know, and God said, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to your seed after you also. Some of them, they kept believing. They didn't really get it, but eventually, you know, the children of Israel got it. And so they all died in faith. So it's a summary. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And those of you who have heard my faith specs, you know that that came out of this verse here. They saw the promises afar off. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. And they confessed. Well, we're only strangers here. We're going to a better place. You know? And so we see the SPEC here. See the promise. Be persuaded of it. Embrace it. And continue to confess it. Powerful verse. Right here. Now, they that say such things. In other words, you know, these people were saying such things. You know, like, hey, we're looking for a better place. Well, you know, if you say such things, that tells us plainly that they are looking for a better place. They seek a country. Now, truly, if they would have been mindful of the country whereof they came out, they will have had opportunity to have returned. Now, many of the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt were indeed mindful of the country where they came, even though they were suffering and slaves and, you know, maltreated and, you know, oppressed. Their hearts kept going back to Egypt. They were mindful of the place. And in their minds, even though they did not physically return, many of them, you know, emotionally returned already. And they kept telling Moses, you were better off in Egypt. Wouldn't there have been and their graves there? Should have left us there. Why bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Did we not have bread enough in Egypt? These people were slaves in Egypt. But their minds kept going back to such things. But there were some people, some of the elders that went ahead of them. The children of Israel did not obtain a good report. None of them did. In fact, with many of them, God was not well pleased, we're told. And the same God that brought them out in 1 Corinthians 10 also eventually destroyed them all. But the elders that were before them, some of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they obtained a good report. And even Sarah. So we see that it's not just men that are in this chapter 11. There's men there. There are also women there. And as we see later, you will see some other stories that involve men and women. Now, it's going to go back to Abraham again. He said, look, well, before I go there, let me read verse 16. But now they desire a better country. that is, and heavenly. Like I said before, I didn't know that these people were looking for a heavenly place. I thought they were looking for the land of Canaan. But, you know, there was something that God put in their heart, that there was something beyond that as well. God was not ashamed because of that to call himself their God. For he had prepared for them a city. Isn't that beautiful? This reminds me of something. Did Jesus not say something similar? You know, in the book of John chapter 14, telling his disciples that, look, I go to prepare a place for you, and, you know, I'll come again and take you there. And did he not also say, when we were reading in Matthew 25 and 34, did he not say that actually this kingdom was prepared in God's mind before the world even began? I mean, many of the verses like that in the scripture is why I keep saying that God doesn't do anything or start anything until first he has finished the thing. Because we see that the kingdom was prepared for us before the world began. He said, you know, ye righteous, because you have done these things, enter thou into your inheritance, which is the kingdom prepared for you before the world began. And so when I read that, I say, wow. I mean, so even when there was no world, even when there was no Adam and Eve, no garden, no disobedience, nothing. I mean, before all of that, there was already prepared in God's mind a kingdom for us. And eventually, he will bring it to pass. So that teaches us to understand that, look, when something is playing out and we are seeing it now, that's not the beginning of it. The thing might have been before the world began. It's just playing out now. So even when Jesus was saying, well, I go to prepare a city for a place for you. Well, yeah, it's happening now, but it happened even before the world began. Now, if we can understand that, it's an element of faith, a high dimension of faith, to know that, look, all things are settled. See, God has already planned everything out, and it's going to work out for my good. According to Romans 8 and 28, he said, all things. We know that. But that was Paul's testimony. Do you know that all things work together for good to them who are the called, those who love the Lord? Yeah? You know, it's all things. It's not just everything that is good, but it said all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. When you mix it all up together, it'll come out for good to them that love God. Not to everybody, but to them that love God. All things. Now, it's not just the good things. If it was good things, well, there's no need to say it will work out for good. A good thing is already good. But it's all things, whether the thing looked good at first or not, even if it had a bad taste to it, and the chef puts it all together, you get this beautiful meal. You might remember our series on, can you smell what God is cooking? Well, yeah, he takes everything, you know, that is happening in our lives, which we don't understand. It takes your upbringing, takes your environment, takes even the bad things that may have happened to you when you were young, takes the good things, takes your good experiences, takes your joys, your highs, your lows, everything. Mix everything all up together. Ooh, and here comes a beautiful story at the end. This is what God does. So we see that even though these people were looking for a city that was already prepared for them, they couldn't find the city. But they kept on believing. And even though the city was already prepared, they couldn't find it. And so it's the same thing for us today. We must keep on believing for the things that are promised, even though we don't see them as of yet. And so these are the testimonials that these people were receiving. And, well, here's what God said about them. God said, he's not ashamed to be called their God. Now, we go back to Abraham. He said, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered off Isaac. It was by faith that he did it. You know, because he had received the promise that this Isaac was going to be the springing forth of many, many, many nations. And yet we're going to kill the boy. You know, so, but he was, in his mind, he knew that God was able to raise him up. If indeed, he had to go through with that. And he didn't question God. You know, he had developed a sense of relationship with God. Trust God enough to know that if God asked him to do anything, well, I don't need to question it. I'm going to go through with it. Because he said for me to do it. Never mind what he said before. He's told you before that this child will be the springing forth of many nations. Now he tells you to go sacrifice the child. How do you reconcile that? Well, he knew the voice of God. And he had his complete confidence in the Lord. And he was able to, whatever God tells me, I am going to do. Even if it costs me everything. Even if it costs me the promise. He was willing to do that. He laid the promise. He laid on the altar. And the blessing came. You know, I spoke in the past on the altar. I mean, the promise, the altar, and the blessing. There's promise made to Abraham about this Isaac. And God will test that promise on the altar. And it was after he passed that test that the real blessing came. And God swore by himself. See, I have sworn by myself, surely blessing, I will bless you, and surely multiplying, I will multiply you. But because, it was all because he obeyed. And he was willing by faith to sacrifice the very promise. Now, how many of us can do that? Can we learn from these testimonials of people how that, you know, God is able to still bring that promise, even if the promise seemed like it's going to die? You know, Jesus even said that, look, unless the thing dies, it will not bring forth anything. You abide alone. In John 12 and 24. So you can read the story in Genesis 22. We're not going to go and read it today. But in Genesis 22, that's the story of the offering up of Isaac by Abraham. And you know how Abraham obeyed and almost did it. Bound the lad, laid him on the wood and so forth. About to crank up everything, about to put the dagger through him. When the angel of the Lord called out and said, Abraham, Abraham, touch not the young child. Now I know where your heart is at, in that you have not spared even your son, your only son. And God's calling him his only son. He had Isaac. I mean, he had Ishmael too, but God said, well, this is the one that was kept so dear in your heart. That's a type of, Christ. God did not spare his only son. And so he said, well, in this will I bless you. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 15. The angel of the Lord called out to Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed. Yeah. So God now repeats the promise with a blessing to follow because he laid the promise on the altar. You know, sometimes we have to give up the thing that is dearest to us in order to obtain the real blessing. And Jesus pretty much said the same thing. He said, look, except you count your life as nothing, you will lose it. But he that will lose his life for my sake, he will get it. And so the things that we're holding on to, sometimes, you know, we have to give it up in order to get a real blessing from God. And we learn these things from the testimonial of Abraham. Isn't that wonderful? You know, so let me read a few more stories today. We won't be able to do them all, but we'll do them all, but not in one day. You know, but, you know, now in Hebrews chapter 6, we see that there was also a record, not just in chapter 11, there was a record of this same promise to Abraham and this blessing that God gave. Let's read Hebrews chapter 6, you know, and verse 13, you know. But before I read 13, let's start from verse 11. And we desire that every one of you should show same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. You know, when God has spoken something to you, show that diligence of believing till the end. Don't give an inch, even though the thing looks like it's a million miles from what God promised. Just stay right there with it. And he said, look, and he gave us this exhortation, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And yes, one of them, Abraham, he said. For when God had made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater. Now, people normally swear by somebody greater. You don't swear by yourself, he said. People will swear by somebody greater. And to them, an oath is a confirmation of everything. The end of all strife, we're told. So God himself, looking for somebody greater than himself to swear by, he looked up and down everywhere and so forth. Couldn't find anybody else, so he swore by himself. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying will I multiply thee. This is what we just read in Genesis 22. And so, after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by someone greater. And an oath once made is a confirmation to the end of all argument and all strife. And the people swear, you know, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, that's the unchangeability of his counsel, cannot be changed. He confirmed it also by an oath. For by two immutable things that you cannot blot out and change, you know, what was it? What were the two things? Well, surely blessing I will bless thee, and surely multiplying I will multiply thee. In those two things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might also have a strong consolation when we read their testimonials. That's what he's saying. And this faith and hope that we have in the promises of God will be an anchor. See? Anchor. Our soul is anchored on the promises of God. Sure and steadfast. That anchor is sure. It's steadfast. And it entereth into beyond the veil. We talked about the veil yesterday, you know, and so on and so forth. Praise the Lord. So, these heroes of faith, they all had these testimonies that are being recorded here. We've read a few of them. There are many more to go. I'm going to wrap this lesson up here. The ones that we have read so far. But let me finish this genealogy of Abraham and the patriarchs here. You know, when Abraham had offered up Isaac by faith, trusting God, well, he got a tremendous blessing. Then comes Isaac after him. Isaac also by faith, he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Whatever he spoke to them came to pass, just like he said it. Now, these patriarchs, they had a habit of doing that. You know, Jacob himself, we're told, leaning upon his staff, he blessed all his children. Even though he was very, very old, and whatever he said went. Even when he went to Egypt, finally, and he blessed the children of, you know, Manasseh and Ephraim, and, you know, crossed his hands and so forth, the children of old Joseph, whatever he said went. Till this day, you know, by faith, they gave these blessings out. So we see Abraham's story, see Isaac's story, we see Jacob's story by faith. Then we go down to, you know, say by faith, Jacob himself, when he was dying, blessed the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And also, then after that, God handpicked Joseph's story here. There were many. They were all called patriarchs, the 12 sons or 12 tribes. And there were many of them, but God chose 12 particularly. You know, and God picked out Joseph here. By faith also, Joseph, when he died, you know, he had given them the commandment before he died. He said, don't leave my bones here. You carry me, you know, out of this place. So Joseph himself also was looking for a place. He knew that the end state was not for them to remain in Egypt. And he was made a commandment beforehand to say that, look, when you guys leave, carry my bones with you. So he was also knowing that they were going to leave. By faith, he had these promises. And he gave commandment concerning his bones. Don't leave me here. Don't leave my bones here. I don't care how long it takes. By the time God gets you out of here to that land of promise, carry my bones with you. Isn't that amazing? You know, so let me wrap up this lesson one of these elders who obtained a good report by faith. Let me wrap it up here. But I'll take a few extra minutes to, you know, do some side reminders of various people that had some testimonials with God at different times. Now, what were God saying about, you know, various people, you know, like Abraham, even while Abraham was alive, what did God have to say about him? You know, God said, well, I know this man, you know, that he will command his family after the Lord. That was God's testimonial about Abraham. Let's read it in Genesis chapter 18. You know, there was a lot of things that God was hearing and about Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, God has these alerters and patrollers. They go back and forth and they come and report to the Lord. We read about them in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 11. And so, but, you know, in the case of this Sodom and Gomorrah, the reports that were coming to God for those cities were evil continually. Now, God doesn't need anybody to report anything to him. He already knows everything, but God likes to engage his creation, you know, make them feel useful, make them feel, you know, doing something for the Lord. So he gives them charge. Well, go search out the whole earth and come and tell me. It's not like he doesn't know. He already knows already. You know, so when the scripture says, second Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf. These ones are the eyes of the Lord. These patrollers, alarers, God doesn't need to learn anything. He already knows everything. He doesn't need to run to and fro. The whole earth is inside his belly. But he puts these ones out there. Cherubims, seraphims, alarers, patrollers, the holy watchers, we're told. That's what we learned. That another title for them. We learned that in Daniel, say, by decree of the holy watchers. I say, oh, you know, so there are some people that are watching and they're like the eyes, and then they come. How do you watch? You watch with your eyes. So these eyes of the Lord, you know, these are these emissaries of God that God sent out. They're like his ambassadors in the heavenlies. Go check things out. Come and report to me. And so they report, but their report they were giving concerning, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah was evil continually. And God said, well, okay, I'm going to go down there myself now and check this thing out to see if all this evil report is actually so, you know. And so the Lord said, well, but can I really hide from Abraham what I'm going to do, seeing that he's going to be a great nation and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him? Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. For I know him, he said. And this was God's testimonial again about Abraham. Now, what is God's testimonial about me and you? Can you obtain, or are you obtaining, this kind of good report from the Lord? And the Lord said, I know Abraham. I know him. He will command his children after him, his household, everybody, you know, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Abraham is going to make sure, see to that. Can God say that of me? Can God say that of you? That he knows you and he knows me, that you're going to keep your family on the straight and narrow after the Lord? Can he say that about you? Have you been bringing up your children in the way of the Lord? And not just your children. It was his household, everybody in his house. Whether they were maid servants, men servants, whether they were wife or visitor, whoever was in his household, they would serve the Lord. Because Abraham would make sure of it. So, well, that was God's testimonial about Abraham. So what is God's testimonial about you and me? Are you obtaining a good report before the Lord? What is he saying about you? Jesus, one time he said, look, if anyone is ashamed of me, well, I myself will be ashamed of him. But if any man would be bold and testify of me and witness about me, I will also confess his name before my Father and his angels. What does that mean? Well, same thing that God is doing here. Saying, well, I know Abraham. Told the two angels that came with him, I know him. You know, he's a good man. So I'm not going to hide from him what I'm about to do. I'm going to tell him. Because he actually has family over there. So God told him, I'm going to confess, you know, and when Jesus confesses his name, I mean your name, you know, before the Lord, before God and the angels, what does that mean? Jesus said that in his days. He also said it in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. He said, well, he that overcometh, you know, shall be clothed in this white linen. And we know that's the righteousness of the saints. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name for my Father and his angels. You know, and in his lifetime, Jesus also said that. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, he said, well, everyone that confesses me before men, I also will confess him before my Father in heaven and the angels. And if you deny me, well, I also will deny you. You know, we saw at least one place of denial where Jesus said, well, I never knew you. Depart from me. Well, that's like denial. I never knew you. Well, maybe they were denying the Lord for one reason or the other. You know, so. But here we have testimonial from God about people. God gave testimony about Job also. You know, we didn't read too much, you know, in these first few verses here about Job, but God gave testimony about Job. Have you seen my servant Job? God said, that there is none like him. Well, that's a testimonial that God gave concerning Job. Can God say, well, God said it about Noah. Noah was a righteous man. God preferred him above everybody that was in the world at that time. You know, Enoch was the same. God preferred him above all his generation. I mean, can God say that about us? This is the challenge, you know, that we can have, you know, from today's lesson. You know, can God say these things? Have you seen and considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a man that is perfect and upright, one that feareth God and would have nothing to do with evil? Can you say that? I mean, can he say that of you and of me? This was his testimony about Job. You can read that in Job chapter 1. A couple of places that he said it to the devil himself. Well, in verse 8 and a few other places. And so, this is our lesson today. And our prayer this morning, we're going to pray. As we go through these testimonials, which I'm calling a good report, because that's how Hebrews opens up. He said, well, they obtained a good report by faith. You know, so we're talking about obtaining a good report with God through faith. Now remember that, you know, this is a written report. There can also be a verbal report. We've listened to a verbal report just now. God said about Abraham, I know him. It was verbal. We've written, listened to, you know, some of the verbal things that God said. The Job one was verbal. He said it to, even to the devil's face. My servant is righteous. And so, well, there were even some verbal testimonials that Jesus gave about some people that had tremendous faith. We talked about the story of this Syrophoenician woman just the other day when she pierced the veil of dispensations, where Jesus said, I can't give this to you. It's not your time. She got it. And Jesus called her a woman of great faith. That's a testimonial. We've read the story of the centurion that said to Jesus, well, you don't even need to come into my house. You know, just speak the word only. And my servant will be made well. You know, I am also a man under authority. You know, and I say to one, you can read that story in Matthew chapter 8. I say to one, do this, and he does it. I say to another, go, and he goes. I say to yet another, come, and he comes. I know how these things operate. And I know that you are also a man of authority in your realm. All you got to do in the spiritual realm, say the word, my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, oh, my goodness, I have not seen faith, you know, not even in all of Israel like this. And so that was a verbal testimonial that Jesus gave concerning the man's faith. He gave it also concerning the woman's faith. You know, that this great is thy faith, O woman. So those are verbal testimonials. But what is God saying about your kind of faith? There were some people that Jesus was saying negative things about their faith. The disciples. Jesus was always saying, "Oh, ye of little faith." You know, he wasn't impressed with their faith at all. Sometimes he even said, "No faith. Why is it that you have no faith? You know, why is it that you are so fearful? How come you have no faith?" He would say at times. But in a few cases, he gave a tremendous testimony about people that had faith. You know, there was a woman that pressed through the, you know, crowd, issue of blood and so forth. And what Jesus said, "Well, thy faith has made thee whole." He recognized it. He spoke a testimonial about that woman's faith. He spoke a testimonial about the Syrophoenician woman's faith. He spoke a testimonial about the faith of the centurion. They obtained a good report with the Lord, you know, by faith, because their faith was what gave them that report. What is your faith level? There's a barometer of faith. What is yours reading? Is it at the very low end or is it high? You know, well, let's show the Lord that we have some faith. Praise the Lord. Now, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Once you get a hold of the word of God, you stay with it. We train ourselves to stay with our word, no matter what circumstances around us look like. Stay with our word. That's great faith. And no matter what it looks like, if you can stay with our word, you also can receive a faith testimonial from God that might be called a good report. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today's lesson as we look at these elders that obtained a good report through faith. We thank you, Lord, for their testimonies that we are reading today and we may read later on as well. And we challenge ourselves, Lord, by these stories and these things that you had to say concerning Abraham, concerning Job, concerning all these people. Have you seen my servant such and such? It's none like them. God said it about Noah. There was none like him in his generation. So I set him apart. God chose Enoch above everybody else. And all these people because they walked with God by faith. I pray, Lord, that we also will obtain a good report with you. Scripture says the Lord is still writing some books. As often as we speak to one another concerning the name of the Lord, well, the Lord is hearing it and writing a book of remembrance. Then they that fear the Lord, Malachi 3:16, speak often to one another, such as we do on this platform every day. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance, such as Hebrews 11, is being written before the Lord for them that fear the Lord and they that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord. In the day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them, even as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Ah, the Lord said, you will be mine. I will make you royal diadem in the hands of the Lord. Father, may this be our portion in the name of Jesus, that we exercise ourselves in the things of God, in the ways of righteousness, that we may walk in faith and please the Lord. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, like Enoch, that I may please the Lord and also be translated by faith. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.